Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we praise you, and we give you the glory for all things. We know that you are indeed sovereign, and so we can rely upon your will and your way and your word. And so as we study your word, Lord, once again, we ask for the guidance, the full guidance of your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and our minds to read, study, digest, and grow in our understanding of your divine agenda as we're going through these time frames from Scripture, from the past and ultimately to the present and to the future. And so we thank you, Lord, for the totality of your word. Help us to grow in our understanding of it. Help us to be able to see and recognize it as the truth, the absolute truth, because so many things are challenging that truth in our world today, and we need to have a firm foundation. And so we base our faith upon Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we study your word to grow in our knowledge and understanding, not only from the past and everything that you have done to this point, but as we look at your word, you also reveal the future. And so we can study it in light of that too. So when the, particularly Lord, when the times get a little tough, we know that there's a greater plan beyond the horizon. And so we thank you for that eternal plan. Be with us now, Lord, as we study your word in the book of Deuteronomy. I ask for the guidance of your Holy Spirit as I teach. I ask that the Holy Spirit prompt me to be true to your word. And if at any point I'm led astray, Lord, I ask for the Holy Spirit to bring me back on track. Get me back in the middle of the road. Don't let me go on off into the ditches. And so, Lord, we just ask that for all of us in our study of your word, to understand it as you want us to see. We thank you for this time, and thank you for the people who have come and gathered here, and those who may be listening in as well, as we continue to reach out to more people to take advantage of the opportunity of what we share here in this place, both in our time of study this morning and our time of worship. I thank you, Lord, ahead of time for all things you have in store for us this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to jump right in to chapter 1. That's where I left off last week. I'm going to reread chapter 1, verse 29 through 33. I think the last thing I talked about is trusting the Lord. And so I want to remind you of what the people of Israel didn't do very well on this wilderness journey, particularly at the time that Moses is referring back to here in Deuteronomy. Remember, Deuteronomy is taken at a time that's around 30 or 60 days before they would be led into the promised land. And it's that time in which God told Moses that he would not be the one to lead them in the promised land. Joshua would be the one to lead them. His life would be taken. He would die either upon Mount Pisgah or Mount Nebo. The rabbis generally teach, because it's not real clear, we know he was up on Mount Nebo, but the view from Mount Pisgah, as I understand it in my reading, was a better view of the promised land. So if you see those two different terms, apparently it's, I haven't been there, for those that maybe have been in that area, they might be able to shed some light on it, but I think it's two mountaintops. It would be in the land of Jordan today, across the Jordan River, primarily. And so that's where we're at here. And he's referring back to the time in which God had him, had Moses send spies into the promised land ahead of time. And they were to bring back reports. And this is a little dissertation by Moses here about 40 years or 38 years later or so. So in verse 29 it says, this is what the Lord was telling through Moses to his people. Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is, I guess this is Moses saying for the Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. And in the desert, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. And then verses 32 and 33, and this is what I want to refer to as we complete this chapter 1. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. And that's, I think, the message that should be remembered. And Moses was impressing that upon the Israelites. And the result, you can read on there, the result would be all those that started the journey that were 20 years old or older would not survive the 40-year journey, except for Caleb and Joshua, who said they could take the land. They believed God when they went in as a spy, despite the odds, despite the giants in the land and all the things they were fearful of. And so that's why Moses is reminding them that here again. So that's where I want to leave that. And I want to move on to chapter 2. The chapter is basically titled Wanderings in the Desert, and then one of the battles that they were engaged in, the whole chapter. So I want to read, I've got it on the board here, just verse 7, and then I'll read on to verses 14 to 19. Verse 7, again, is something that I think we need to take to heart too. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast desert, whether it's the desert as they left Egypt for the Israelites, or it's our desert in our time. I think it can be applied to us. He has watched over your journey through this vast desert. In this case, these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything. And then it goes on here later in verse 14 and kind of gives us a little history lesson on what they've gone through for these 38 years. It says, 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered Valley. By then, that entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp as the Lord had sworn to them. The Lord's hand was against them until he had completely eliminated them from the camp. Now, when the last of these fighting men among the people had died, the Lord said to me, to Moses, today you are to pass by the region of Moab at Ar. When you come to the Ammonites, this is kind of important, the Ammonites, do not harass them or provoke them to war, for I will not give you possession of any land belonging to the Ammonites. I have given it as a possession to the descendants of Lot. If you remember, Ammon, was the son born to one of the daughters of Lot by incest. But yet God is still honoring Lot through his descendants in this way. Now the Ammonites, if you look today at the region of of Jordan. Jordan today, on the east side of the Jordan River, primarily, you'll find the three major ancient lands of that area. Amman is the northern part of Jordan. The central part of Jordan is equated with Moab, which we know about. And then the southern part is Edom. And so we have those three major regions, ancient lands, that are included in the country of Jordan today. So the Ammonites would have been the northern group. And so as they passed through Moab, ready to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God's given them specific directions to not leave the Ammonites alone, because God has given the possession of that land to the descendants of Lot. Then I'm going to read two verses here on further, because in verse 24, we pick up with remembering the battle that they had on the journey with Sihon, the king of Heshbon. He was an Amorite. It's a very close name to, but it's a different group. They were original enemies of Israel. And so in verse 24 and 25, it says, "Set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. Begin to take possession of it and engage him in battle. This very day I will begin to put the terror and fear of you on all the nations under heaven. They will hear reports of you and will tremble and be in anguish because of you." So God made that happen. There were a big group of people that were coming, and the other nations around there were fearful of this great horde of people. And so that's reminds us of that here.
Where did you just read?
Chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. 24 and 25. I'm not going to read the whole account of the defeat of Sihon, king of Heshbon, but I just thought that's important to put in context with what battles they had. I'm going to go on to chapter 3, because chapter 3 is headed the defeat of Og, king of Bashan. So I'm going to talk about this one too, starting with verse 7 here, and get a little bit of the sense of it. And then I want to read verse 11 as well. This will give you an idea. I know Raymond's taught on this in his Genesis study and so forth. The giants, the Nephilim, descendants of the Nephilim. And here's an indication, most likely, of one of those descendants of the Nephilim. So Og, king of Bashan. Now Bashan is up in the northern region of Israel, the Golan Heights, I guess it'd be most related to today. And so this was an ancient, a king that was a mighty man, a big man. And so that's why I want to. So verse 7 reads, let's see, but all.
Two.
I need.
Chapter 3.
Yeah, chapter 3, verse 2. Okay. I need to read that first. "The Lord said to me, 'Do not be afraid of him.'" So once again, don't be afraid of your enemy. "For I have handed him over to you with his whole army and his land. Do not do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon." But then in verse 7, "But all the livestock and the plunder from..." I don't know why I had that. No. It's 11. I need 11. It's the last verse in that section on him. This is interesting. "Only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Raphaites." Now, the Raphaites believed to be descendants of the Nephilim. The Nephilim back in the times of Genesis. Perhaps somebody came through the ark and they were still around. And we know David encountered Goliath and so forth later in the time of the kings. But here in the time of them passing through on the 40-year journey, they had to deal with them. And we know that was the reason for why the spies, 10 of the 12 spies, didn't think they could take the land, because there were these giants in the land. They were fearful. They didn't trust God fully, and they were afraid. And so here God is showing them that he's going to show them in battle they can take Og, the king of Bashan. But read this account in verse 11. Only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Raphaites. His bed was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. It is still in Rabbah of the Ammonites. That's a pretty big person, obviously. No, he wouldn't necessarily be 13 feet tall, but it'd be somewhere like Goliath, 9 to 10 feet or even 12 feet perhaps, and then the size of the bed. So I think that's interesting. Let me go on in chapter 4, because I want to go through this whole chapter. I don't know if there's anything else anybody wants to look at there in chapter 3. Moses repeats that he was forbidden to cross the Jordan. So,
Just one comment.
Okay.
Yep. In verse 25, when it says, "I will begin to put the dread of the people on the peoples who are under the whole heaven." That didn't happen.
Under heaven, yeah.
That didn't happen, but it's going to happen. It's, that was the beginning.
Okay.
That
okay.
Was the beginning of it.
Good point. Yeah. So that's has a word of prophecy tucked in there. Okay, appreciate that. All right, let's start going through chapter 4, because this is the last part. If you look on your outline, I call it chapter 4, verses 1 to 31, obedience commanded and idolatry forbidden. And then verses 32 to 43, the Lord is God and the cities of refuge. And so I think it's worthwhile for me to read this whole thing. If there's any comments or questions, I may stop and make some points as we go through it, so there's a connection on certain things. The first phrase here, hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. There'll be more hears down the road here, which here, but I think it's an important point. The word in Hebrew for here is shem, and we'll see in chapter 6, we have the important teaching that all rabbis, all the people who in Israel who teach the Torah, are reminded of it, because it starts first by hearing. And so here, Shem, now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. And we'll see in the next chapter, chapter 5, and that's the reason why Deuteronomy is often referred to as the second giving of the law. And so the law will be repeated in chapter 5. But this chapter 4 kind of sets all this up. Okay. Following them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Important term. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it. But keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. It's interesting to me, studying prophecy, there's a similar phrase given at the end of Revelation in the book of prophecy. Do not add anything to these words. Do not take anything away from these words. And I hate to say it, but I see too many that spiritualize it, take things out, Don't think that applies. Take it, take God's word for what it says. We might not understand it fully, the impact of it, but I think that's why God continues to remind his people, including us today. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. And then verse 3, Moses is again referring back to the time in which God brought judgment against his people. Because you saw with your own eyes, you experienced it, you went through it, you were there, you saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. And Baal Peor is what happened as the consequences to the seduction that the Moabite women did to the Israelites. Back in Numbers 25, I believe it is. And Baal Peor was that worship place, that high place, where the false gods were worshipped. And so that seduced the Israelites, and they even participated in that. So that's why God was so angry and why he brought destruction and death to a large number of the Israelites. So again, they're being reminded of that. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Remember, Deuteronomy is doing everything to get them ready for going in to the promised land. When they get in the promised land, follow God's ways. Follow them in the land you're entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations. We know Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the nations. And they failed in so many ways. But that was God's purpose for them. He made them his people. He married them, in a sense, made a personal relationship with Israel, and they disobeyed and didn't do what God told them. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding, who will hear about all these decrees. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children. Teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of the words but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Some say the book of Deuteronomy is kind of like the final exam. If you think about it from a school standpoint or teaching standpoint, put everything before them, and they are to hear and understand, so when they enter the promised land, they were to do everything that God required. And we know they didn't. We know they failed. And so despite all the words of warning and so forth, they failed. And then it goes on in the next section from 15 to 31 about idolatry, and I think there's some important points there. So I'm going to read this too. I might read fairly quickly through it. And reminding them that you saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman, or like any animal or on earth, or any bird that flies in the air, or like any creature that moves along the ground, or any fish in the waters below. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven. We're not to worship the creation. We're not in any way, not the sun or the moon or the stars or anything else in all creation, but worship the Creator. And so this was the reminder. Don't bow down to them. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be the people of his inheritance, as you now are. He's still claiming them as his inheritance, even though all the things that they've messed up on. The Lord was angry with me, this is Moses speaking, because of you. And he solemnly swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance. I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan. But you are about to cross over and take possession of that good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive, only a remnant, among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him, if you look for him and with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in latter days, this is important, you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. Verse 32, ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds, like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your forefathers and chose their descendants. After them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you and to bring you into their land to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. And then this ends with these cities of refuge. We've talked about the cities of refuge before. These are the ones that will be in the area that's east of the Jordan River. For the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of the Manassehites. So that kind of ends that. It's a long discourse, but I encourage you to look at it. It's really about obedience and lack of obedience that they had done. I just want to, as we move on, 44 to 49, on the outline we kind of get through the first bullet point. Chapter 40, or verse 43 ends the first bullet point. The Lord is God and the cities of refuge. And then in verse 44 and on to chapter 5, we begin the presentation of Moses' second address. We've been dealing with Moses' first address here from chapter 1 to chapter 4, verse 43. And the second address is about a restatement of God's law, a second presentation or reading of the commandments. Now, I'm not going to read those commandments again. You know them. But it's interesting if you take and you compare the ones given in Exodus 20, to here in Deuteronomy 5. And not a lot of differences, but there's a few differences. And so I encourage you to kind of look at that on your own. I don't have any major points that I want to make on that. But it's again a reminder. And the beginning of chapter 5, you see again, Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, O Israel." Everything starts with hearing. You know, and if we tune out and say, I don't want to hear, we see the consequences. With God, it may be that we're just interested in other things, but it can be nothing more important in any of our lives than have an understanding of God's word, because it is the truth. Particularly as we wrestle with everything that's going on in our culture today. It's full of lies. I've said that before, and I'll repeat it again. There are so many lies being presented. There's so much deception that we need to recognize the truth. And so I think in today's message, Raymond's, we're going to read from Luke chapter 1 for the Christmas story. And I think it's important to understand this is our tradition, Christian tradition, biblical tradition, to celebrate Christmas. Now, you have many secular people who may observe Christmas in some fashion, but do they really understand the Christmas story, the account? And so I think it's all about where you look for truth. Because there's so much that's untrue, so much that's being presented around us in our culture, in our world today, that is just filled with lies. And if we don't know the difference between the truth and the lie, now you can say, well, I'm not sure I believe everything in here. I haven't even read it all. But where do we turn? Where do we turn for truth? Because I, as I grow older, and have studied more and now try to teach, there's no doubt in my mind. This is God's word, and this is the absolute truth. And if we seek for truth elsewhere and we follow the ways of the world that says each person can have their own truth, whatever you believe, whatever you want to believe, that's okay. But I think we can see how important God's way was back in the days of the Israelites, his chosen people, but also it's every bit as important today. And we're being challenged. We're being challenged. You know, there's a strong possibility. I'm not saying it's going to absolutely happen. It may not happen in our lifetime. But I can see the makings, even in our nation, of rounding up Christians, persecuting Christians, putting them in concentration camps of some kind because they're not obeying the rules that they've established for us. Now we say, that can't happen here. Well, it's been happening in China. Well, we know China is a communist country, but we still don't know where that's all going because the people have pushed back a bit, but how many have died because they pushed back? You know, so we have this going on in our world. And so the important thing for us is to, in our own heart, to know what the truth is and stand on that truth. And so that's why I'm being pretty tedious in some of this reading, because I found it very uplifting as to how Moses was presenting to his people, as you get ready to enter the promised land, this promised land that God has given you, obey God, do things God's way. And I think that's every bit as important for us today. We're not saved by the law, all the rules, because God has made a way by his grace through Jesus Christ. But if we love him, we'll obey him. And that's where I think we need to put more attention and obviously share it with others as we go. So I'm gonna stop there. We'll pick up with chapter 5 next week and go through some of that. So let's close in prayer, prepare ourselves for our time of worship. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time you've given us to be in your word and the book of Deuteronomy. So many things here, Lord, that you presented through your prophet Moses to pass on to your chosen people, the people that you, in fact, married on the mountain, your mountain, the mountain of God. Whether it be in the location of Horeb or Sinai, we have a difference of thought there, depending on how you interpret it. And so we know that you created a special relationship with the people. And out of that special relationship, they were to keep your ways, your word. And we know they failed. But you didn't give up on humankind. You, in fact, had to send your own only son to die for all our sins. But not just to die, but to rise from the dead. And so we praise you and thank you for what Jesus did. And we thank, help us to remember at this time of the year as we celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus when he came into this world and became a man and kept the law perfectly. All that you required, he kept perfectly, that we can't do. And then he took all our sins on himself and went to the cross and died. And so we can celebrate. We can celebrate and remember his birth, but we can also remember what he came for and what he did. And so we thank you for the totality of your plan. And we ask you, Lord, now as we go into our time of worship, that we can truly celebrate and worship you in every way, through song, through prayer, through sharing the word, through the message that's given, through in fellowship with one another, loving one another. So we pray as people come into this place that the Holy Spirit will work in a way that will touch hearts and minds to focus on all that you've done and give you the praise and the glory. And so we do that now as we prepare ourselves for a time of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.